Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your gallery wall hanging, uncomfortable dream having. Our humidifier keeps leaking all over our rug, and now our bedroom smells sour, friend.
Oh, no. And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your gallery wall hanging. A flexology session has changed my body, wearing jean jackets with all of my summer clothes to get the most out of my wardrobe, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week I'm talking about how to be neat and tidy if you are a very messy person like myself.
Ooh, this is like a big one.
Big one.
Okay, this is good. I think even people who consider themselves neat and tidy can probably take some pointers. We can always improve, you know?
Yeah. Or please, if you have any pointers to share with me that changed your life, by all means, email me.
Okay. And I am talking about crazy old TV shows that were underappreciated and canceled before their time.
Oh.
These are shows from like the 70s all the way through the 2000s that most people have not heard of and deserve a second look.
You know, old TV is kind of funny because there are times when I'm like, oh, I love that show as a kid, and I put it on and I'm like, this is awful.
I feel like a lot of people have that experience with Friends.
Don't you dare.
Who've like,
don't you?
No, but who've rewatched and been like, ooh, there's a lot of gay panic in
this.
There's a lot of like, it's not so great.
They're problematic.
Yeah.
I had that experience with Full House and I couldn't watch
Full Houser is the one that should be.
Because of that, because I'm like, wow, this is so bad.
Yeah.
But then there are shows that I thought were totally lame as a kid and I go back and watch and I'm like, this is fabulous.
Like what?
Like Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote is great. You sent me a video of a scene of Murder, She Wrote.
Yes.
Where like a man is basically talking to Jessica about how great he's had it.
Yeah.
And like, no, he's never had to do anything for himself and he's so bored. And now he's decided to take a girlfriend and it's going to be her. And her eyes are so wide. Yeah. It's amazing.
She's like, I don't want any part of this romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Literally, gentle listeners, this was the dialogue on Murder, She Wrote. I think it's like episode 3 or 4. I'm a white man and I haven't had to do anything for myself for years. I have automatic banking and automatic lights and now I need a lover. It's like so stupid.
And it cuts to her and her eyes are like, oh God,
get me away from here. It's like, Angela Lansbury, run so fast, run away.
So Kathleen, what's your flexology? What happened?
Oh,
what's this?
Do you know what flexology is?
No, I know what reflexology is, but I don't know what flexology is.
Okay, flexology is people, it's like a session where you go in and somebody stretches you to an inch of your life.
Oh, this sounds wonderful.
I know, because you're very big into stretching because of Ariel. And I know sometimes in the middle of the week, you'll be like, hey, I have to stop working at, 6 p.m. because at 6:30, I have a stretching class.
Yeah.
And so basically, this is kind of like a chiropractor session because you work on a chiropractor table, but you lay down and someone goes throughout your whole body and they stretch every single element and muscle, focusing on what you want, like done more deeply. And I've been having, my body's been failing me in more ways than one. And some I've talked about on this podcast, but most recently, I threw my back out twerking to Enya. And, and I had a flexology session yesterday, Bethany, and I feel more present and aware of my body than I have in a very long time.
That is nuts. I've never heard of this before.
So there are like these little, not little, there are these studios popping up everywhere. It's a chain, a flexology chain called Stretch Lab.
Okay.
Have you seen those before?
No, I'm going to look them up. Stretch Lab.
Stretch Lab. I know they've got some in New Jersey. I know they've got a bunch in California. My friend was just telling me that one was opening up there. It's like physical therapy for stretching.
And how do they like warm you up first? Because it's...
Oh, yeah. they sure do.
So how do they do that?
They like massage you and they get out that like that Theragun thing, you know, the thing that beats your muscles.
Yeah.
And they give you, you know, like little light taps, and they like, you know, dig into your muscles with their fingers before they start stretching you. And it's like a massage, but way better. And I had the best night's sleep last night. I've already booked a session for next week. My back all of a sudden isn't hurting me, because when your muscles go, they tighten up and they go, you know, and yeah, really rigid and cause you pain. A flexology session, they open up all of those areas that are really tight and closed up, and it's like blood was flowing to my limbs and I didn't realize I had that much blood in my body.
This sounds so great.
You would love it.
Because I've been to a couple of aerial workshops before where they'll have us like partner stretch.
Yeah.
Or even groups of three where like you'll go into a straddle, right? Where you're like sitting on your butt.
Yeah.
And your legs are apart in like a V, and you sort of, they have like two people, one person on each ankle who is pushing your ankles backwards to see if you can get into a wider V than you think you can.
Yeah.
And it feels so good, because it's like,
yes,
it's just, it feels so good. It feels so amazing.
It's because you can breathe through it and you don't necessarily have to worry about like putting the force on the area of your body where you're trying to stretch.
Yeah, that's not one of the things that I don't know if this is the same like for injuries, but when it comes to things like contortion, where yes, you're trying to like increase your flexibility, a lot of times it's not about making your muscles more stretchy. It's about calming your nervous system down and telling your brain to stop firing all of these panic signals that's telling everything to tense up, because your brain thinks you're going to hurt yourself. But you have to like breathe through it and tell your nervous system, you are safe. I'm not going to hurt you. Uh-huh. Relax, like, and kind of ask your body permission.
Yes.
And it's fascinating. I'm so interested in this.
Oh, Bethany, run to Google, find a place near you that does it. I'm telling you, it is worth every single penny. It's not cheap. So you can buy subscription packages like a yoga studio for a lot of places that do it. But the way that I feel today and the way that I slept last night, I know I need to keep doing this at least until the end of the year, so some of my pain will go away.
What do you wear? Do you have to be nude?
Just yoga pants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Only yoga pants, no shirt, right?
No. I wear socks. I found matching socks yesterday, which is an anomaly for me. Yoga pants and just like a very thin sweatshirt, you know? And Bethany, you and Dennis, I'm telling ya, it's orgasmic.
This sounds amazing. They say they require grip socks for your safety and hygiene. Did you have to wear grip socks?
No, I didn't. But I understand why some places might want you to wear grip socks.
Yeah, so that you don't, I don't know, don't slip. I think it's probably like the socks you get when you're hospitalized.
Yeah, I love those socks.
You get those grippy socks. Like, yeah, there's no heel on them. They're a tube sock, but they do have some pretty cool grips on them.
I know people who do like steal. Like, I think you're supposed to leave those at the hospital.
Two pair.
Yeah, I know people who like will always go to the hospital when they're visiting people and then like find a pair and walk out with them.
Look, if you're in the hospital, it's costing you a gajillion dollars anyway. Get yourself a pair of those socks. Like, you deserve it, you know?
Girl, your bangs are looking so good.
Thank you. I washed my hair.
Yes.
And I gave myself a bang trim. Don't tell Enzo, my hairstylist. I have to go in to see him. They're not the same length in any regard, but I am happy with how they're looking right now.
I saw my friend last night and I'm like, oh, girl, your hair looks so good. She goes, thanks. I get it cut and colored at Supercuts.
Really?
Yes. And I am totally a snob when it comes to that type of stuff, because I'm very paranoid about my hair, about like who's cutting it, so much so that I haven't gotten a proper haircut in a while because I haven't been to my haircutter stylist. And she's like, I'm telling you, I used to pay so much money at the fancy salon and they do the same exact, if not better, job at Supercuts.
What color is her hair and what kind of haircut does she have?
So she's got blonde hair.
Okay.
And she gets blonde highlights and she's got this really cute little short, like angled bob looking thing with some bangs, and adorable.
That's amazing. You know, I gotta say, I think, because I went to a Supercuts once growing up.
Yeah.
And the person literally had me stand up, and he just brushed my hair down my back and then just cut it in one long line.
Oh, God.
And was like, you're done.
Oh, my God. So,
but I feel like now information is so much more accessible that even, and I'm sure Supercuts has gotten better at training, but I feel like even if your place isn't training you the way that they should, you have access to so many resources for learning like new styles and skills and all of that stuff.
Absolutely. So if you're like me and you've been putting off getting a haircut because it's expensive.
It's so expensive.
Yeah, so expensive. Maybe like go to your local Supercuts.
Yeah.
And try them out because you might be saving yourself a lot of agita and money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Kathleen, you and I had a moment of synchronicity this week.
We did.
We both hung up gallery walls in our homes.
So weird that we didn't communicate to each other that that's what we were both working on.
I know. Now, yours is right behind you. I'm looking at it right now. There's a lot of color because Kathleen loves color.
Yes.
lots of gold frames, lots of baby pinks, and I'm seeing some yellows and some greens.
Yes.
It looks very different from mine. I'll say that.
Well, yours is black and gold, and you did yours as a part of a larger art installation for your cat Minerva. So she has like shelves on the wall to climb.
Yeah, she won't touch a single one. All she wants to do is be high. We hold her and she's just looking up. She just looks at us as a way to get higher to, she does, I mean, if she gets up to the ceiling, she's looking at the ceiling to see where else she can climb up, and there's no way. So I put these shelves getting, you know, higher and higher up the wall so that she can sit on essentially the ceiling.
I've seen those on Pinterest. They're really cool.
They're great. She won't go anywhere near them now. Now that it's an option, she's not interested.
What if you put like little treats on them or something?
We tried. Oh. She eats the treat. She jumps off.
Maybe you need to train her.
I think it's one of those things where you buy the cat this expensive something or other and they prefer the box it came in.
Yeah.
I think it's just one of those where buying your cat anything is a real gamble because they're probably going to hate it, but they might love it and you love them. So you just want to shower them in gifts.
I know. I have a friend who has so many cat toys because she subscribes to this box where every single holiday they send toys associated with that holiday.
Yeah.
And she's like, cat, why won't you play with your gefilte fish or something? And the cat literally
your stuffed dreidel.
And the cat just wants the shoelace. Speaking of animals, my little guy, my problem child, Juno, last night, Neil and I were trying to sleep. It's 1 o'clock in the morning and he's crying in the hallway, wailing at the top of his lungs. And Neil turns on the light and he goes into the hallway and he is staring at himself in the mirror.
Did he think it was another cat?
He must have. And he's staring at himself in the mirror and his meow sounds like he's saying hello. So it's like, hello. And he's just staring at himself and we're like, oh, sweet boy.
Little guy. It's scary when you see yourself looking at yourself and every time you meow, it meows. That's so scary.
I know, so scary.
Well, you know, every once in a while, I look into the mirror and I also am frightened. So I think we can all identify.
When you scare yourself, are you also going, hello?
Hello? Today's episode is brought to you beautifully and without visible panty lines by Honeylove. Okay, Shaper usually makes you feel like you're dying a slow, suffocating death while trying to hold it together at a party.
I can remember years going to parties with sucker-inners and pincher-uppers and literally not even being able to have a conversation because all I can think about is how uncomfortable I am.
You know, like the shapewear that like, it covers your torso and goes down your thighs.
Yeah.
It always rolls up your thighs until it is squeezing around the top of your thighs so tightly that you can't think straight and you have a bruise when you get home. That is why Kathleen and I are so excited we have discovered Honey Love. They spent years researching and developing effective shapewear that is truly and actually incredibly comfortable.
I wore my Honey Love super power shorts to a wedding this weekend.
Yes, were they powerful?
They were so powerful. The power of attraction, Bethany, because a handful of ladies were like, I've been meaning to tell you since the church, I love your dress. And you know what? The dress wasn't even that nice. I think it's because I felt very confident in it because my tum-tum, because I had a big lunch, I had a big Korean bowl for lunch. Oh, rice and all that good beef. I was all smoothed out and I was ready to dance and I wasn't like tugging and pulling at what I was wearing.
If you are wearing overly tight, cheap, or really sticky fabric that rolls up or rolls down, you're not having a good time. What's the point? Honey Love's best-selling Super Power Short has targeted compression technology. It distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. You want some parts pulled in, but you want your ass to stick out.
Yes, yes.
They have a signature X that targets and sculpts your midsection without squozing your natural curves, and it is so comfortable. We both have their crossover bra, too.
Yes.
This is their most popular bra. It gives you this wonderful support. There's no underwire, nothing poking at you. And the band on the back, Kathleen, is wide enough that you don't get back fat shoving out the tops and bottoms.
Yes, Bethany, I'm wearing mine right now because I was running to this podcast today to try and not be late so I can prove to you that I'm a worthy human. I was wearing my Honey Love crossover bra, sprinting down the street, thinking to myself, how wonderful is it, that feeling when you're doing hard exercise and your tatas aren't hitting you in the chin?
And I have to be really honest, I was nervous to try their Power Hold shorts because I have flashbacks of the thighs rolling up and sitting up by my underwear and hurting.
Yes.
They don't do that.
No.
The Honey Love Superpower shorts stay exactly where they're supposed to be.
And gentle listeners, if you are like Bethany and Kathleen, shapewear isn't your typical endorsement. It's not about changing the shape of your body.
No.
To fit what society tells you to look like.
No.
It is about feeling smoothed out and more confident in your clothes. And I'm the first one to kick uncomfortable crap to the door. Honey Love is not like that.
I am petitioning Honey Love to try and make a line that will make my waist look thicker and cube shaped, because that's what I want society to agree with. But they said no thank you for right now.
So no matter the occasion, you deserve to look and feel your best.
Get 20% off at honeylove.com with the code TASTE.
Calling all my honeys, you deserve this. So Bethany, I like using this podcast as sort of like an extension, a tributary of my therapy sessions.
I mean, what is a podcast for if not really for talking out our own stuff? It's like they say authors write the books they need to read.
Yeah.
You know, on a podcast, you talk about what you need to work out.
Today, my topic is how to be neat and tidy if you're a messy person like myself.
Gotcha. Okay, this is aspirational. I like this a lot. We are all trying to grow and be better people.
And listen, the only reason I'm sharing this, because like some of this is so embarrassing and I feel like I'm too old to still be dealing with these issues, but I know that I'm not alone. And my only goal for this podcast is to help other people feel like they're not alone.
Absolutely. Totally.
That is why I'm sort of like laying all of my unorganized, not trash, but like questionable treasures on the ground today.
Sure. I mean, if one person's trash is another person's treasure.
Yes.
Throw it all out there. Let's see. Let's dig through it and see what we want to bring home in spray paint.
Step number one. This list is from Bustle, by the way.
Okay.
And literally the title of this article is How to Become Neat If You're Incredibly Messy.
Okay, great. What's it about?
So it says I need to give every single item that I own a home.
Yeah, I've heard that's important. I don't have that yet, and I wish I did.
You, to me, are a very neat person, because I've popped into your house before, and it's like a very neat, clean, and tidy place. But do you consider yourself a neat person?
I consider myself neat-ish. Like, I like to have my space clean before I go to bed. You know, I like to have everything fairly clean consistently, because if my house isn't clean, my brain is completely cluttered.
Yes.
But there's always at least one closet and one drawer that's just filled with crap that needs to be addressed and is not. And I still have several boxes that are not unpacked because I literally don't have any place to put those things.
Yes.
And I don't know what to do.
So that's exactly what this article is saying. Like, you need a home for everything.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have a home, make it a home or throw it away.
Yeah.
But I'm the type of person to be like, I don't have enough homes for all my things. Let me buy more homes. And then before I know it, I have 10 boxes of shelving that I haven't put together. And then that just becomes part of the problem.
More things. Yeah, I mean, I will say, I think you've said that you will order things and they come in the mail, they come in a box, and then you will,
yeah,
you like don't open the box for kind of a long time.
Yes.
And that's the thing, like I think that's our biggest difference, because I'm always just so excited that the box came. It's like Christmas. I want to open it up and see what's inside.
My problem is that I'm like, I need this thing. I absolutely need it. And then I order it from Target or Amazon or wherever. And then it comes and then I don't open it right away. And so I guess the lesson is that I actually didn't really need it.
So yeah, why don't you open it right away? What's that about, do you think?
I don't know why. It just sits by the door and it accumulates. And I think that I don't open it right away because I'm going to open it when I'm ready to use it.
Gotcha. Okay. Why have everything sitting around if you're not ready to put the thing together? Because let's be honest, it always needs to be put together.
I know. And I hate putting it together.
And then you can store.
Okay. The next thing on this list. I'm learning so much today. Set tidying goals.
Okay, what does that mean?
So my tidying goal is going to be for the next week. This is what I'm going to work on. I'm going to work on wiping down the kitchen and putting everything back in the cabinets.
Okay.
Before I go to bed.
Great. So does the article recommend like having a specific time you do this? Like you do it at the same time every day?
So it says, rather than falling to your knees and screaming over how much tidying that you have to do, which let me tell you, that's me every day. I'm like, my house is a mess.
It's like the end of Platoon. No, yeah. God.
It says, take your transformation into a neat freak slowly. So build upon small habits instead of like cleaning everything and being like, okay, it is absolutely going to stay this way. You know?
It never stays that way.
No, like when you spend a whole weekend doing nothing but cleaning and you're like, okay, for the rest of my life, this is how my apartment's going to look.
Yeah, right. Never happens.
It says, let yourself get used to the change. One great way to do this is to set 3 cleaning goals per day. Okay, I'm setting 1 per week because 3 per day feels like a lot.
That feels 3 per day. I wonder if they're small. Like, I will put my toothbrush back on its charging base when I'm done brushing my teeth instead of leaving it in the shower.
Bethany, that's one of the things that I need to do on my list. I need to have a home for my toothbrush because my brush ends up in my makeup bag.
That's not sanitary.
Well, it's like sticking out of my makeup bag, you know, so the handle's in the makeup bag part.
Do you travel with it? Like in the makeup bag?
Yes, and I wrap the head in like a paper towel.
Okay. Yeah, no, I should go back like in a medicine cabinet or on its tiny charging base.
Yeah, or I need to find the case, that the beautiful travel case that it came with.
Sure.
Okay, so this is a thing, Bethany. This is what I would do. If we were not having this conversation where I literally got to like talk myself through the process.
Yeah.
I would go on Amazon. Okay. I would find some hella cute toothbrush holder that you like stick to the wall. And then you put your toothbrush in the holder and it like looks like a teddy bear or some shit, right?
Yes, of course.
That is what I would do. But I don't know if that is the answer. Do you think that's the answer for me in terms of like my toothbrush?
No, because I feel like that is buying another thing.
Yeah.
That you don't necessarily need. Do you have a medicine cabinet?
No, I do not.
Do you have any?
Oh, wait. You know what? I bought a medicine cabinet from Anthropology a few months ago, and I've been meaning to install it.
There. Okay. So I would go ahead. Okay. So this is a multi-step process. Okay. Step one.
Yeah.
Open that box.
Yeah.
From Anthropology. First of all, okay. Step
find
one,
the
find
box.
It. Find the box.
Yeah.
Number two.
I think it's in Neil's office. I don't know.
Yeah. Open it.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the box, right?
Yeah.
Step three, install it.
Mm-hmm.
And then step four, put your Bruce toothbrush in it. Look, and now you have a beautiful new medicine cabinet. I'm guessing if it's from Anthropology, it's outlined in gold.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My bathroom is gold. I mean, let's be real. I'm a basic bitch.
Yes, of course. Yeah. And and then now you have a beautiful gold medicine cabinet and you have your Bruce toothbrush inside.
Next step. don't let things pile up.
Too late. Step three. Both of us, too late.
I am hanging my head in shame. Bethany, where do you let things pile up?
On the top of my dresser and in my closet. So the nice thing is that in the closet, Dennis can't see it, so he doesn't need to know. But on top of the dresser, I'm doing a better job of keeping that clean. But I do have a rat's king worth of necklaces all tangled up together sitting on top of it because I'm waiting for the day when I'm super stressed and need to untangle necklaces to calm me down.
Weird.
So that is there right now.
Okay.
I love untangling necklaces. Sometimes I get them tangled up on purpose just so I have something to untangle.
You know, I've heard people say that before. I have a friend who's like, bring me your necklaces.
Yeah. We're the Statue of Liberty of taking in necklaces. Bring me your necklaces.
I let things pile up the mail.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So I will miss bills. And I let things pile up in my closet because I just toss things in there when I want to make it seem like I've cleaned up.
I think that's a common one.
Yeah.
Because you can literally close the door on your problems and now you don't have to worry about them until next time you just like toss a problem in there without even looking at it and slam the door closed in case it all falls down on you.
This is why I need to win the lottery, because a lot of very wealthy people who build new homes, they build the kitchen that they actually cook in and then they build the kitchen that they hang out in when their friends come to visit.
Okay.
And I basically need one of those for every single room in my house.
I feel like that's going to actually make your problem worse.
It's like when the hoarder is like, I'm just going to get this storage unit to get things out of the way and then I'll go through them. And then before you know it,
when they buy a second house to hold all their things, now you do any things.
I think maybe I might host a special session on our Patreon for the study buds, because we have buds that get together every month and we like plow through work and stuff. I think that I'm going to host a special session where I go through all of my mail.
I think that's great. Back in the days when we both worked in radio and I was crazy busy and had money.
Yeah.
I had an assistant and one of her jobs was to just go through my mail and tell me what the bills were, tell me what the junk mail was. And then if it was junk mail, her job was to shred it, because mail at that time was so overwhelming to me that it would pile up for a really, really long time. And having someone else, even just around, to go through it is really helpful.
And Neil's just as bad at the mail as I am. I have shopping bags full of
Kathleen. Is it all junk mail?
Junk mail. It's mostly junk. Yeah. There might be a few medical bills in there, but it's mostly
Kathleen,
junk.
Kathleen. I know. You gotta go through that, honey.
Next on the list.
Yeah.
Get a handle of your clutter.
Isn't that what this whole article is about? I feel like that's what this whole article is about.
Don't let things pile up, but also you have clutter where things aren't necessarily piled up.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at my bookshelf right now and there is clutter there, but because inherently it's a bookshelf and it can only hold so much, it's not like a pile up.
I also love a cluttered bookshelf.
This one you would not love.
Oh, I don't know. Right now in our library, I have books hidden behind other books. Like if we have replicas of a book, because we just combined our libraries, like one will be behind the other. We both have the full Harry Potter series. So it's like an entire series hidden behind the actual series. There's a lot of clutter on my bookshelves.
Okay, so get a handle of the clutter. One of the reasons that it's hard to stay tidy is because you have so many things to keep track of.
Yes.
I have been thinking about like just taking everything out of my bathroom, only putting in the things that I use every day, putting everything else in a bin. And then if I don't go back and look for it or use it, I'm going to toss it.
I think that's a great idea. It's amazing how much stuff, bathroom stuff, we accumulate and how little we actually use.
So little.
I would say, because you already have a lot of, it sounds like you have a lot of bins of things.
Yes.
I would say, like, go thing by thing. Uh-huh. And if your gut says, don't need it, or if it's expired, throw it away. It doesn't get a bin. It just gets tossed.
But I am going to keep my hair wax from 2016 because I've never found a hair wax that's like as good as that.
What brand is it?
It's like Matrix.
Why don't you just get a new container of that hair wax?
I'm pretty sure that they don't even sell it anymore.
Oh, that makes sense then. Keep it. Right? I'm sure it's still good.
And actually, I think I'm being generous when I say 2016 because it might be like 2008.
Yeah. I mean, if you're thinking like, oh, a few years ago, that's the 90s.
Start off small. Hey, this was already on the list.
I know. I feel like this list, did someone make this because they were on a deadline and they needed a number of articles that day?
Here's the thing. When you're a writer, I feel really bad for writers these days, especially when you're writing for a website, because a lot of websites like Forbes, and or at least Forbes used to, because you used to have a roommate that wrote for Forbes, they would have a quota of articles that they would have to write every single day. Yeah. And you cannot pump out four articles a day and have every single article be as good as you are a writer.
I've also noticed so many more typos
in
articles that I've been reading.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so no one proofread this because there was no time.
They just want you to get it up.
Yeah.
I don't miss that world because I'm a terrible writer and I have terrible grammar. I'm going to go down to the next one.
Okay.
I love this one. Wipe down surfaces daily.
Yes, yes. This is one I do, and it's so nice because it makes the house feel so clean.
So you wipe down your kitchen every day?
Every day, yep, before we go to bed.
I need to do that. I need to wipe down. I was looking at the sink in my bathroom. There's like makeup all over the inside of the sink.
Yeah.
And I just need to like do a deep clean of all of my products too. I think I need to start wiping down my products after I use them.
There's one thing I've started doing which has helped with the flat surfaces situation, which is if I vacuum a room, I pull out the extension, I pull out the little brush, and I just vacuum all of the surfaces so that even if I don't wipe them down, the dust is gone. So that top layer of skin is gone, at least.
Yes, I hear you. And you know that they make sprays now that aren't like harsh chemical sprays? You know, like if I have a really dirty job to do, I get out my Fantastic or my Mrs. Myers or something.
Sure. Yeah.
They make sprays that they call surface sprays. So they don't necessarily antibacterial everything because you don't need that all of the time.
Right. Yeah.
It's just a spray that cleans things, it degreases it a little bit, and it smells really nice.
Well, that's good.
They sell one I really like on Grove.co.
We love a Grove. We love Grove.co. You know, we're talking about all the old advertisers right now. We got our Bruches. We got our Grove.co.
Okay. Next step, Bethany. It says settle for good enough.
Yeah.
I need to say that again out loud so I can really absorb it. Settle for good enough. It doesn't need to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's never going to be perfect. And in the meantime, as you're striving for, don't let great be the enemy of good.
Oh,
you know,
that's a
like
good one.
While you're striving to make it perfect, you're not going to be doing it because you're afraid it's not going to be perfect. And so in the end, nothing gets done.
So it says, don't stress yourself out by thinking you have a couple of drawers that look like chaos, and don't stress yourself out by dusting every nook and cranny. Instead of aiming for perfect and intimidating yourself from starting in the first place, just get started and settle for good enough.
That sounds great. Does that speak to you?
That does speak to me. And I know that you know that that speaks to me.
So
I get in my own way a lot of the time.
So after kind of reading this article and taking a look at it and start, you know, processing it, where do you think you want to start in your own space? Like what feels the most doable for you?
I think that I want to work first on my kitchen.
Okay.
Organizing it and cleaning it a little bit every day. So maybe half an hour every day until it's done. Because if I spend a whole day just cleaning it, then I lose a whole day of work. And then I'm pissed that I lost a whole day of work. And then I never go back and clean it again because I'm like, I have so much work to do and I don't want to get behind. And cleaning my kitchen means that I get behind.
Yeah, yeah. And I think even instead of saying I'm going to give it a full half hour, I would say maybe just wipe down the surfaces. Wipe down your oven, the stovetop.
Yeah.
You know, because those get really dirty.
Yeah.
Wipe down the counter and call it good. You know, that's like a baby step forward. And and if you have time to do more, great. But like, even if you don't have a full half hour, just wipe down some surfaces. And I think that's a great place to start.
Do you do a tidy before you go to bed or do you do it as you're living your day?
Both.
Yeah.
Dennis and I are both. He is much more of a making sure everything's clean before bed.
Yeah.
But both of us, like if we're walking by something and we see something is out of place, we'll just kind of reach over and move it back. Like, we have like a set of coasters in the living room.
Yeah.
And if I walk by the living room and I see that there's coasters on the coffee table and some errant coasters on side tables, I'll just walk by, I'll pick them all up, I'll put them back in the little coaster box.
Yeah.
Move on with my life.
So see right there, you've made it a part of your routine, but it's not like a huge deal. It's not like,
right,
well, now I'm going, and it's not like a huge declaration.
Right, and
That is kind of like what I need to teach myself. I talked about last episode how I'm working with my nutritionist on putting pillars at the beginning and the end of my day. So I make time to feed myself nutritious things throughout the day and I don't get overwhelmed. And I think like I need to interject like very small pillars. Like when I look up from my work, I rinse out my coffee cup and put it in the dishwasher and I wipe down the crumbs from my morning oatmeal or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's great. And just as you see something, if you walk by something, you see it's out of place and you know where the good place, like the right place is.
Yeah.
Just like move it to the right place and it's not a big deal.
My friend Rebecca the other day, I called her a psycho to her face because she told me that when she finds a sock, when it comes out of the dryer and it doesn't have its pair, she puts it aside for 1 week. And if she doesn't find that sock within a week, she throws it away.
I mean, that's an amazing, she's on top of laundry in a way that I'm not.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I would see that sock for another month.
She only wears matching socks.
Well, yeah. Right. Yes.
What?
I mean, I think that that's the goal is I feel like,
what?
Yeah, I think matching socks are the goal ultimately. Of course. Yes.
Is that what normal people do? They have matching socks every day?
Yes, absolutely. That's why socks luckily are sold in pairs because you do want them to, I mean, in theory, go together. Unless it's like, you know, a sartorial choice. But I think by and large, the goal is to have socks match. Yeah.
Okay.
How often do you do that? Do you think matching socks?
Bethany, my socks never match. But I also never throw away a sock where I can't find the match. So I have a huge, huge laundry basket of socks. And when I need a pair, I dig through it praying that I can find, you know, like pairs so that my heels aren't unbalanced because one sock is really thick and one sock is really thin. I try and
this
just
sounds
like...
so stressful. This sounds very stressful.
It is. It is. And that's why I'm speaking these things out loud that I'm not good at, because I think as women, I think as a certain type of unorganized perfectionist, which doesn't sound like those two words should go together, that I know there are other people out there who are struggling with this. And it's like hard for women to admit that they don't always have everything together.
I mean, yeah, I think it's hard for people in general who are you know, adults to feel like, I mean, I've talked before, like I hate food, food related activities. And like, as an adult, it's hard to admit I'm not good at food, and I don't have to be because we don't have children. So I don't have to keep little things alive.
Yeah.
So I don't, I'm, it's this weird limbo of just like, well, I'm not good at food and I haven't had to learn. So I will make a sock admission.
Yeah.
So that you don't feel alone out on this plank.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So I used to get my laundry done because there were no laundry facilities by me.
Yeah.
And one time they sent back all of my stuff and in it was a sock that certainly was not mine.
Oh.
And it was just one sock.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautiful, high quality, like it was black. It was a black heel sock, but it had like a really cool toe cap. And it also had like white racing stripes up the side and along the bottom that I found very visually pleasing. And to this day, I have that sock just because I like the idea of holding out the hope that maybe one day I'll find the other one and I'll have a full set of this beautiful sock that I just really like the idea of.
Bethany, you need to write that sock a missed connection.
Yes, I know.
For your old neighborhood.
I know.
If you got your laundry done by, you know, shop around the corner, are you missing this sock?
And if you are missing it, instead of me giving it back, can you give me it? I know it's yours, but I'm really, in this situation, I'm looking for you to give it to me for free, please. That'd be great.
I recently found a pair of socks in the back of my car. Somebody must have left them there, and they're a matching pair, and I'm never giving them back because it's a built-in pair.
Yeah, no, you can't. I once borrowed a pair of socks from my mother while I was in town, and I haven't given those back because they're so soft. And mom, you're not getting those back.
Bethany, remember when I went on the pod and told you that my mom got free socks in the mail from the Catholic diocese with Padre Pio on it and said, "You're blessed." I never gave those back either.
I want those socks. Those are awesome.
They were free. Become a Catholic.
Oh, Kathleen.
Uh-huh.
Gentle listener.
Uh-huh.
You know what season it is? MF and spooky season.
Ooh.
This is the time where you take your past traumas, you turn them into a ghost story, you sit around a campfire, and you tell scary stories while roasting marshmallows and the tears of your enemies.
I'm so happy that you were able finally to put into words my feelings about the fall that bring people closer together.
You don't want to do the campfire dance where you pick up your chair and you move it so that the smoke doesn't get blown in your face as the wind changes. Solo stove is your must-have as we head into the fall and winter season.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I have no qualms about saying this out loud. I am a basic bee. And Solo Stove checks off so many of the product requirements that I have when electing products to my roster. And that is because Solo Stove creates this cozy ambiance in my backyard. My friends come over. And listen, we've all spent a lot of money on our outerwear
sure.
to look like effortlessly chic. Also, like, we didn't try too hard, but we tried really, really hard. And there's nothing worse than buying like a new sweater, wearing it to your friend's house to impress a boy because you're going to make s'mores and drink wine together.
You're married.
And then coming home and smelling like dang smoke.
If you are like, what is this Solo Stove and why are these women screaming at me? Solo Stove is a portable, smokeless fire pit. I said portable. You can pick it up and you can put it in your van and you can drive it to your coven meeting in the middle of the woods, place it back down and light it. It lights quickly. It's stainless steel construction. It's easy to light, and the smoke goes straight up instead of out at your face and onto your sweater.
I have one. My mom has one. Mm-hmm. Bethany's sister-in-law has one.
My mom has one. Her friends all have one.
It is the type of purchase where you make and you don't regret it.
No.
You're like, how did I live without this item before I had it?
And in addition to the fact that it's just a few bits of starter and your fire is blazing in just minutes, they are built to last. This is not you buying something cheap that you're like, this will last a season and you have to get rid of it. Solo stoves are something you buy for your home to last for a long, long time, and you're going to love it all year round.
And they're so confident that you'll love it, they offer a lifetime warranty and a 30-day free return policy.
So do something crazy. If you listen to our ads and you're like, that sounds cool, and then you move on with your life, take a shot. Get yourself a Solo stove. Get yourself one of the small ones if you're nervous. If you have a family of 17 children, get one of the big ones. But go for it. You're going to love it.
And prepare for your best outdoor memories yet. And save big during the Solo Stove fall event.
Plus, use the promo code TASTE at solostove.com to get an extra $10 off.
That's solostove.com, promo code TASTE for $10 on top of the fall event deals.
Hurry, the fall event ends November 10th. Get on it. So, Kathleen, I mentioned last week that I'm obsessed with the satirical soap opera Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. And
yes.
When I get obsessed with something like this, it's all I talk about. And so I'm not going to talk about Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, because I'm not going to do that to you. But if you have not seen it, it's this 1976 satirical soap opera. It aired on mostly independent stations because most stations didn't want to take it. And it's this insane soap opera that aired at night, and it's about this woman named Mary Hartman who has a bob haircut except for the two braids that go down either side. And in the pilot episode, we find out that while she's trying to figure out why her floor has this waxy buildup, despite the product saying it won't cause a waxy buildup, her neighbors have been murdered in addition to their 8 chickens and 2 goats. So there's been a family annihilation that has happened next door.
Oh my God, there's a bloody massacre.
Yeah, and you know, Mary is like sort of concerned, but mostly concerned about her floor. So it's nuts. The most recent episode, a man died in a bowl of chicken soup.
What?
So it's awesome.
Wait, hang on a second. How does one die? Was it a big vat?
It was a large bowl, but I don't want to spoil it. I know it is from 1976, but like, like,
did he pass out?
Well, no, he was very much aware of what was happening as it was happening. So it was an unfortunate death.
Was he face down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Who, was someone holding him down?
No. Circumstance was holding him down, Kathleen. You have watch Mary Hartman to find out how he died in the bowl of soup.
Where do I watch it? On Acorn?
Full episodes are on YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. Okay.
So I want to talk about other crazy old shows.
Oh, yes.
That didn't get enough attention or are like cult classics now, but not a ton of people know about or were canceled before they really should have been canceled.
Oh, I love this topic.
Okay. So the first show we're going to talk about is a show called Look Well. It aired for exactly one episode on NBC. And this should have done so well. It was developed by Conan O'Brien.
Oh, get out of here. I love Conan.
I know. He's great. Do you know who Adam West is?
No, I don't.
He used to play Batman and then he had like a recurring role on Family Guy.
Oh.
He was the mayor. So he's great. He's like a beloved actor for, you know, mostly for playing Batman and being on Family Guy. So he played a washed up action star who was, you know how sometimes they'll deputize someone famous, like as a ceremony and in title only? They'll like deputize, yes. I don't know. Someone be like, hey, yeah. You're the honorary deputy of our town.
Yeah, like when someone graduates from Harvard, even though they never went to Harvard.
Right, or they get like a ceremonial honorary doctorate. So yeah. Adam West plays a washed up action star who was ceremonially deputized by the local law enforcement, but he becomes delusional and thinks that he's a real cop.
Oh my God.
This sounds fun.
Okay, yeah, it actually does sound fun. It's a good premise. Yeah. And I'm mad that it only aired for one episode. What network was this on?
NBC.
How dare you, NBC?
I know.
Put it back on Peacock.
So a notable line in response to a cop saying, "You mean we wasted all that time on a car chase?" Adam West says, "You never waste time chasing. Time wastes you." That's the kind of show I want.
I cannot imagine something being so bad in 1991 that the networks were like, we're out.
Here's the thing about most of these shows is they were ahead of their time.
Okay.
They were, I don't want to say, they just weren't mainstream enough for what networks were and are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, usually very quirky humor.
Like Twin Peaks.
Yes, exactly. Like in the way that Mary Hartman is quirky humor where, you know, people get murdered and she's like, but the waxy buildup. It's not what most people are looking for, so they don't do very well.
I think someone needs to bring it back, Bethany. Maybe you are the person to rewrite the script for the pilot episode.
I think if Conan O'Brien couldn't make it work, I probably am not going to have much luck, but you're sweet.
That was Conan before he was Conan.
I mean, I think he was still Conan. Like, he was
That's
Conan.
True. Yeah.
Okay, the next show is called Not Necessarily the News. This show ran on HBO from 1982 to 1990. So it was actually on for a fairly long time.
Okay.
It really paved the way for, like, The Daily Show and The Onion. Like those kind of satirical news shows.
But I've never heard of the show Not Necessarily the News.
That's my topic, baby.
Yeah.
So it featured sketches, parody news items, commercial parodies, and bits. It was based on a British series called Not the 9 o'clock News that had aired like a year earlier. So one of the most famous segments from this show is the segment called Sniglets. And in it, Rich Hall does a news piece from a supermarket where he's talking about sniglets, which are words that are not in the dictionary but should be. For example, and then he goes over some sniglets. For example, squimmets are the gross threads that come off of a banana. You know, when you like try to eat the banana, but you get like those like threads that are awful.
Yeah.
Motspur. A motspur is the fourth wheel on a grocery cart that doesn't get along with the other three wheels.
Oh, the one that's like dangling off to the side. Like, please, I'm trying to get away, but they won't let me.
Yeah, or like takes the cart in a completely different direction.
And like every 3 feet, your cart goes, pum, pum.
Yep.
That's when the part where the wheel goes around and it doesn't exactly align. Pum, pum,
yeah, pum, yeah. Like pum. It spins, but it doesn't realign itself.
Oh, there's nothing worse than being that person in the supermarket because there are no other shopping carts left.
Yeah.
And you're just going down the soup aisle. Pop, 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 pop.
Or it's just Yes. The last word I really like, the act of taking food from one section of the grocery store and then deciding you don't actually want it anymore and leaving it in a different set of the grocery store is called perpetation, which I perpetate all the time.
No, you do that, Bethany?
Absolutely. If it's non-perishable, yes, I will do that.
No, I put it back because of karma. That's the only reason why, though.
Here's the reason I do it.
Yeah.
So when I was very young, I had a job at Sears.
Yes.
And I worked in the infant department. And there were times when I was so bored that if I saw something out of place, I was relieved because it was something to do for a second.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's probably different in grocery stores because they're always packed. But in stores in general, I feel like fewer and fewer people are going into actual stores. And so I don't know. I would probably get bored, and you can only like face the cans of soup so many times before you're like, all right. So anytime I saw something out of place, I got really excited because it was something to do.
Okay. I get that. I never thought about it from that perspective, and maybe you're actually doing someone a favor.
I mean, I wouldn't make it a habit because we're probably going to get a lot of letters of people saying like, my life sucks. My job is so stressful. Please stop making it worse. And in that case, I am sorry.
But like, maybe you want to bring that banana back from the yogurt section, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, get your steps in.
And I definitely won't do it with perishable items because that's just cruel.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the next show is Space 1999. Thanks. Star Trek. It aired from 1975 to 1977. It was syndicated, so it was on a bunch of different stations.
Okay.
And the premise, okay, the premise is that humanity had been storing all of our nuclear waste on the moon. And the problem is that an unknown form of magnetic radiation is detected, and then we hit like a critical mass of that waste on the moon, and there's a thermonuclear explosion that happens in September of 1999. So it's the anniversary of it. And so so from that explosion, the moon gets propelled like a huge booster rocket, and it hurls the moon out of Earth's orbit and into deep space at a super fast rate. So then the 311 people who were on the moon at the time are stranded on the moon as it hurtles through deep space.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Yeah. So here is a notable line from the pilot episode of Space 1999. A man says, John, the Metaprobe astronaut virus infection mustn't be allowed to stop us.
The virus infection.
The Metaprobe astronaut virus infection.
Holy mackerel. That is a mouthful.
The show looks amazing.
I'm looking at pictures of it right now, and the costumes look pretty good.
Martin Landau was the lead.
Oh, Martin Landau. Huh?
Okay, the next show. This one seems bomb ass. I don't know why. I'm so bummed. American Gothic.
Oh.
So this
American
was
American Gothic.
Yeah, there's a couple of TV shows called American Gothic. One was in 2016. I think this is unrelated to that. This one, one I'm talking about, was in 1995, created by Sean Cassidy, who also is the head writer and creator of New Amsterdam, which is out now, but also a half brother of David Cassidy for all of our
Monkeys friends?
Fans? Not Monkeys. The Partridge Family, right? David Cassidy was the Partridge Family?
Yes, that's right. The Partridge Family, yeah.
Okay. So he created the show. Sam Raimi, legendary director, produced it. And in it, Gary Cole, who was the boss in Office Space, if you can remember Gary Cole.
Oh, yeah. A very young Gary Cole.
He plays a murderous sheriff who rules a town with his occult powers. He's also a rapist.
Oh my God.
He appears affable and charismatic. He's a murderous rapist. And his base is backed by apparent supernatural powers. And it seems stressful. Sarah Paulson is in it.
Oh, we love Sarah Paulson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was canceled due to low ratings. And also, it was on CBS. CBS originally aired it in the wrong order.
What?
So, like, the episodes were ordered a certain way. CBS aired them incorrectly and also just didn't air four of the episodes. So you would be watching it and be like, wait, when did this happen? And This other thing didn't get resolved and people didn't like it and were confused. Gee, I wonder why.
I absolutely cannot believe that that can happen.
So stupid. So stupid. If you work at a job and you're like, there's a couple people who work here who shouldn't be working here because they're awful at their jobs. Every place has that. Even places like TV and I don't know, the government.
The government. And, you know, I was in like a very small supermarket yesterday picking up a few things. It's not like my regular supermarket. And it was the middle of the day, so it was a strange time to be in there. And there were two guys putting away like bacon products, you know, like cold meat section products. Mm-hmm. And I walked by and man, they were like really chatting loud with each other about like all sorts of weird stuff that maybe they shouldn't have been chatting with each other about. Like the last time that they had a really good high and like why they failed out of like some course that they had to take. And I'm going down the bread aisle and there's like an older woman who's talking to like an older man. And they're probably the managers. And the woman was like, oh, Chris is on his high horse again. Will you please go talk to him and make sure he's putting stuff away and not chatting?
What a stressful experience at the grocery store.
I know. I'm like, listen, this guy clearly likes to chit chat and doesn't like to put things away. Like maybe put him behind the register instead.
Yeah. If you have time to lean, you have time to clean, you know?
Yeah. Listen, if one person succeeds, we all succeed, right?
In theory. Okay. I think it more like you're only as strong as your weakest link is probably more accurate for this situation.
That is what I was looking for. So anyway, weak link, American Gothic.
Yeah,
CBS is the weak link.
So there was a show on Fox from 1990 to 1992 called Get a Life. This show stars Chris Elliott, I guess most known for playing Mayor Shit on Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So he is a 30-year-old paper boy named Chris Peterson. He lives above his parents' garage, His real-life father played his father.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's cool. A lot of amazing people created this show. So Chris Elliott was part of creating it. Adam Resnick, who was a writer for Late Night with David Letterman. David Merkin, who was the executive producer and showrunner for the show Newhart and The Simpsons.
Oh, The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. And then people who wrote for it include Charlie Kaufman, who wrote Being John Malkovich, and Bob Odenkirk, who people know, I guess, from Better Call Saul, but has done a ton of work.
Yes, I love Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah. So it didn't do well because it was a primetime sitcom, but it had a really bizarre humor. For example, Chris dies in like 12 of the episodes. And
he comes back?
Yeah, he comes back. The causes of death include being crushed by a boulder, dying of old age, being stabbed, being shot, falling from an airplane, getting run over by cars, choking on cereal, and just blowing up.
Oh my God, this sounds amazing.
Yeah, so they had a really hard time getting the show on the air, and the executives at Fox didn't like it. And so they canceled it.
Oh, the executives. They always make the worst decisions.
Notable lines from the show include, I'm like a rough diamond that just needs a little polishing, that's all. And that's exactly what Handsome Boy Modeling School is going to do for me.
Handsome Boy Modeling School. Man, this, of all the shows that you've talked about so far, this is the one where I really want to go and watch.
You can see a lot of it on YouTube. Okay. I mean, it's up there.
All right.
Okay. This is another one that's horror and like weirdness based. Okay. And these tend to not do so well. This was a show called The League of Gentlemen that aired for 3 years from 1999 until 2002 on BBC. So it was overseas.
Yeah.
If you know anything about Monty Python, you know they did a lot of cross-dressing. And it also had a lot of elements of Kids in the Hall.
Okay.
And all of that combined with horror. So it was about this isolated English town called Royston Valley. The sign says, welcome to Royston Valley, you'll never leave. And in the first series, so the first like season, a construction company called PQ Construction threatens the town by building a new road near their local shop, which is like the center of town.
Yeah.
The project is first delayed when a monster, which is later revealed to be parts of a goat, a pig, and a chimp crudely stitched together, is unearthed on the construction site.
Oh my God. That is really, that's very grotesque.
Yeah, you can see why people, like, again, like, mainstream audiences weren't really looking for that.
Yeah.
As they sat down to, you know, dinner.
So here's the beauty of streaming, even though, okay, so on the live show the other day, we were talking about Mary Hartman, and you made this really interesting point that I'd never really thought about before. With streaming and television nowadays, if your show kind of isn't a success right off the bat, you get canceled. Like, shows once upon a time were allowed to have a sleeper season where critics weren't sure and they were sort of searching for their audience. And then they finally found the audience, and season two was like a much bigger hit than season one.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that is like the downfall of streaming. But the upside of streaming is that when there's a show like this where the humor is really very specific for a certain type of audience, because of the internet and streaming, like, people can more easily find this type of content.
Completely. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because people are either finding old shows they used to love, or they're finding performers they love now who were in projects they didn't know about back in the day. And they're discovering these new projects that are like, oh man, this was so strange. Like, why didn't this do better? But I think networks work the same way that they always have, which is, if it's not making a ton of money, what's the point? Because really, ultimately, it's all about making money.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one. I'm saving this for last. So you've heard of The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, Rod Serling was the host.
Uh-huh.
This was a show also hosted by Rod Serling.
Oh.
But he had less control over it than he had over The Twilight Zone. This was a show called Night Gallery. And the premise is awesome. So he is standing at the beginning of each story in an art gallery at night. And each painting is one of the stories. So he'll like unveil a painting of a woman screaming. And he's like, this woman is Melissa. She was a real bitch in life, but she's even worse now that she's dead.
That's an interesting premise.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
It aired from December of 1970 through 1973. Oh. It was on NBC. And while The Twilight Zone was more about science fiction, Night Gallery was more horror and supernatural.
Yeah.
So I am going to read to you one of the intros that Rod Serling gives about one of the stories he's about to tell, okay, that you're about to see.
Okay.
Welcome, art lovers. We offer for your approval a still life, if you will, of noise. A soundless canvas suggestive of sound. And it's a picture of a woman screaming. The mouth belongs to Pamela. In life, a shrieking battle axe made up of adenoids, tonsils, and sound decibels. In death, an unmuted practitioner of fish whiffery, undeterred and ungagged by what one would assume to be the great silencer.
Fish
he says
whiffery.
That as one sentence.
Fish whiffery.
What the hell's fish whiffery?
I mean, you take a whiff of a fish, maybe?
I mean, I'm guessing it's like midwifery, like being a midwife. It's a fish wifery? I think he says wifery.
Wifery. So weird.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Yeah, I can see how maybe that one wasn't a hit.
Yeah. Another notable line is a man says, as long as there's no snow on the ground, the dead have to be buried right away. And then another man says, otherwise, they walk. And I'm like, this is the show for me.
It would be a really interesting concept to do that again. But instead of paintings, you reveal windows in an apartment building. And it's about it's about all of these people who live in an apartment building. And like he pulls down the blanket and the window is revealed. And then you can see what's going on through the window. And then the camera goes into the window. And all of a sudden, you're plunged into somebody's life.
That's cool. It's like the movie. If Rear Window was longer and like 12 episodes. That's a great idea. I would watch the hell out of that show. And it would, you know what? It would probably get canceled well before its time.
No, Bethany, don't say that. You know why it won't get canceled? Because you and Dennis are the writers and the directors and the executive producers.
Uh-huh. Again, if Conan O'Brien couldn't get his show on, I don't think we can. But thanks for the vote of confidence. So Kathleen, you know, I was out in public the other day, and one of my favorite things to do is to listen to what other people are talking about, like a giant creep. And I overheard this couple talking about how freaking expensive everything has gotten. And they were trying to figure out where they could tighten things up and, you know, reduce spending a little bit. And Kathleen, that is why you and I are such huge fans of the app Upside.
Yes.
Because whether it's getting gas or getting a crazy eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant, we are all being hit with inflation. And Upside is going to let you get money back for buying things like gas, groceries, and food at restaurants.
And it's not just like big name brands that have partnered with Upside. A lot of my local neighborhood restaurants have partnered with Upside too. When I'm in the city, I always open my Upside app so I can see what businesses around me have partnered with Upside. Because if I'm going to buy a coffee anyway, I'm going to buy a coffee at a place where I can get some cash back, right?
Absolutely. It's free money and it's super simple. First of all, you download the free Upside app. And if you use our promo code AAT, you'll get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Then you claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. You check in at the business, pay as usual with a credit or debit card, and you get paid.
Once you download the app, you can see your favorite brands, grocery stores, and restaurants that you go to all the time that work with Upside. So like Shell Station and BP and Burger King and Dunkin' Donuts and Papa John's and Popeyes. You're going to find something there that works with Upside, and you're going to go there anyway, so you might as well get cash back.
Totally. And in comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. You should be part of that.
So download the free Upside app and use the promo code AAT to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more.
That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using the promo code AAT. Kathleen, did you see that story that came out last week? I think it was originally from Wired, that said when you do a thumbs down on YouTube, it doesn't really do what you think it's doing.
Oh, so it doesn't downgrade a video?
Not really. It's like, So people were doing this study where they were trying to figure out if you could really curate your YouTube video algorithm the way that you want to.
Okay.
And they found that using the dislike button does not control it the way that you think it's controlling it.
Oh.
This is an article by Chris Stokel-Walker from the Wired UK. Mozilla did this study where they used a browser extension and had people tracked between December 2021 and June of 2022. They looked at more than 500 million YouTube recommendations made after users clicked on one of YouTube's negative feedback tools. So that down finger, right?
Yeah.
Or there's like the don't recommend this channel button.
Yes.
They say that, you know, YouTube is saying this is how you can control your recommendations. But really, a lot of times people were still getting either videos from the same creators or videos with the same content.
So rude. Like if so you, rude.
Yeah. So if you don't want to see footage from, you know, the Russian invasion of Ukraine and you downvote it, people were still getting like, here's another angle of that same footage of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And they're like, but I didn't want to see that.
Yeah. Why is that? That seems kind of effed up.
YouTube says it's because they want to make sure that you're not, I have to find the exact way they phrased this. They wanted to make sure that people aren't downvoting things to the point where they get into an echo chamber of their own beliefs.
Oh.
Which I guess makes sense.
That actually is far less nefarious than what I originally assumed what was happening. it's like Netflix, if you thumbs down to something or you stop watching a movie or a show in the middle of it, mm-hmm. Netflix doesn't not ever show you a show like that again. Mm-hmm. It just takes into account that you didn't like that one, but you are perhaps interested in that genre.
Yes.
And so I was thinking that maybe
YouTube was doing using that. Like, you are interested enough to watch a few of things like of this genre and then downgrade it so we'll show you something else, but that's not really the case.
Yeah, so a YouTube spokesperson said asking its algorithm not to recommend a video or channel simply stops the algorithm from recommending that particular video or channel and does not affect a user's access to a specific topic, opinion, or speaker. Their spokesperson said our controls do not filter out entire topics or viewpoints, as this could have a negative effect for viewers, like creating echo chambers. But also, it sounds like people who literally didn't want to see a channel anymore were still being recommended that channel. So it also doesn't seem like it's working as well as YouTube says it's working. So it's interesting. Oh. I don't know.
I would like to be in an echo chamber of only DIY videos.
I mean, what, Kathleen, go to your Instagram recommended page right now. We do this every once in a while. We'll check in and see. Okay. What are you being recommended the most right now?
Okay, pulling it up. Kitchen remodel.
Okay.
Kitchen design. Uh-huh. Indie style. Alternative style. Soap carving.
Ooh.
Friendship quotes. Built-ins and gallery wall.
Wow. That's very you.
What are you being recommended?
I'm getting Lyra performance. Do you know what Lyra is?
I have no idea.
It's an aerial circus art, but it's a big hoop.
Okay.
That you're inside and like around instead of fabric or a trapeze. Yeah. It's like trapeze if the trapeze was a full circle.
That makes sense because you do aerial. I get that.
Colorful makeup, which is true. A lot of videos of cats being surprised while they're asleep with food, pole art, and just dogs.
Dogs.
And then here's a picture of a couple both wearing jack-o'-lanterns on their heads and hugging, which is also and oversplit training drills, which I like.
Oh, see, now on my Finsta, I'm being recommended Road Trip USA.
What's that?
Which is weird. It's, I guess, content all having to do with road trips.
Okay.
Oh, I know why I'm being recommended that. Because I have a bunch of content that I took from my trip to Alaska, and I've been looking for how other people make reels with their travel content.
Oh, gotcha.
And then I'm also being recommended, and this is so random, lumberjack style and pool cleaning.
Why pool cleaning, do you think?
I haven't cleaned a pool in a very long time.
There's like so many Instagrams and TikTok subcultures I never thought of. Like, there's pool cleaning TikTok. You know that there is.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, there's a whole world of how to mix cement, I'm sure, because I've seen some of them, and it looks really satisfying to mix cement.
It does. It does. You know, it's even more satisfying. It's like cement, but it's not cement. Grout. Grout? Isn't grout? Like, it's like a form of cement. When people mix colors into their grout and they have like boring tile, and then all of a sudden they put like hot pink grout between their tiles and you watch them do it. The before and after is so satisfying.
There is something about a before and after.
Yeah.
And this is why I have a bone to pick with domino.com, which I used to bring up all the time.
Oh, why?
They're like a home website, redecoration website, whatever, furniture and stuff.
Yeah.
And anytime they do a before and after with a home renovation, they're awful at getting pictures of the same area before and after. It's terrible. So they'll be talking about a home that got completely gutted and renovated, and one of the segments of the article will be about the bathroom, and it'll be like, our bathroom was a horror show. You know, it was like there was a slime on the floor, and there were like these hands that kept pressing through the walls, like skin. Like, were there people in the walls? We don't know. And now we renovated it with Tuscan inspired tiles, and you will get one picture of the old bathroom floor and no pictures of the new bathroom.
Ugh.
And then like they move on.
I hate that.
Or they'll talk about this clever kitchen layout where they gutted the whole kitchen. It used to be this. And then they'll be like, but then we added a secret bathroom on the left side of the sink. And then we added like a skylight and blah, blah, blah. And you'll just see like a picture of one of the doors and like not get a full view of what the kitchen looks like. And I'm like, domino.com.
It's frustrating.
I'm coming here to feel a sense of satisfaction. And I know that you are just reliant on what pictures the people who did the renovations took, but I'm sorry, if you're going to try to plug your renovation on domino.com, you better make sure you have appropriate before and after photos.
You know, it's funny that you bring this up because I follow Domino on Facebook, and there was some sort of caption like, wow, this paint color really changed the feel of the bedroom. And then I clicked on the article, Bethany, and there was nothing in the article about like what paint color they changed the bedroom to.
Kathleen, as someone who spends a significant amount of her time in the comments section of domino.com, people are really getting frustrated with how Domino is going downhill with their clickbait titles but not following through. A lot of times they'll be like, this tile splurge is worth it, and then but you can get another one from IKEA for similar, and then they'll never talk about it, or it'll be such a subtle, be like, we thought about IKEA, but then we got this one, and that's the whole point. It's so stupid.
Oh, look at this. I'm not even going to bother reading this article. I didn't buy any New Year clothing for a whole year, and it completely changed my wardrobe. It didn't change your wardrobe.
No,
it didn't. You didn't buy anything new.
Literally, your wardrobe stayed exactly the same.
Domino has a podcast, and the editing was like so poor one time that I wrote to the editor of Domino, who responded back to me, and I was like, listen, this is what you need to do. You need to turn down the input of your microphone.
Oh, shit.
She was like, thanks for the great advice. And then the podcast ceased to exist after that.
Really? Those ladies aren't doing it anymore?
Yeah, they stopped. No, no, no. You're thinking of Dear Alice.
Oh.
Which I also recently wrote into. I am turning into my own worst enemy.
Yeah, you're becoming the woman who writes into the opinion section or letters to the editor every week.
I wrote into Dear Alice, the interior design podcast that I love to hate listen to, because all of a sudden they started calling bedrooms, instead of primary bedroom and primary bath, they've been using master again.
Really?
And I wrote in, yeah, and I was like, hey, listen, I like learned from your podcast that you're supposed to call it primary, but why in your most recent episode were you calling it master again? And I said to them very plainly, like, I'm not trying to stir something up. I'm curious about your thought process because, mm-hmm. you know, your podcast is where I learned about this from. Mm-hmm. And they have not written back to me yet.
Yeah. Mm. Sometimes podcasts don't get back to you.
Yeah,
like ours.
Don't. They don't. Hey, Bethany.
We're not great at it.
What did you learn this week?
I learned that sometimes things happen the way they happen for a million years because that's the way that works. I was like, I'm going to revolutionize painting my nails. I am going to put a layer of Vaseline all the way around my nail bed and behind the nail so that, because I was going to dip them to do like a French tip dip.
Yeah.
And so it was very clear nail polish was going to get all over my finger.
Yes.
And I was like, well, so instead of having to, you know, wipe it off and it's not going to work, the Vaseline will keep it from getting on my skin and then it'll be so much easier to wipe off, right?
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense to
me. We don't do this for a reason, because the Vaseline gets onto your fingernail inevitably. And then in order to paint your nails, you now have Vaseline all over your fingers, because even though you used a Q-tip to apply it, it still got onto your fingers. And so now everything you touch is greasy. The nail polish bottle is greasy. And then you try to paint your nail and a tiny bit of Vaseline that got onto your nail makes it so that none of the nail polish adheres to that nail, and now the brush has Vaseline on it and everything is a friggin' mess. Don't try it. You didn't revolutionize anything.
What if you did that technique, Bethany, but instead of using a Q-tip, you got like a very fine paintbrush from, I don't know, Michael's or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like something so, so, so small. And then you did the technique where you drop a little bit of nail polish onto like a bowl of water, and, you know, so you get that like swirl effect with a couple of different colors, and then you dipped your finger into the water so the paint only then sticks to your nail and you're eliminating the brush.
I mean, I'm fascinated. I'll try anything.
You should absolutely tell.
Will the water allow the nail polish to adhere?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Because when you pull your finger back up, the nail polish sticks to your nail, because I've done this with like a mug or a plate or something that I was decorating, and then you let it dry, and then the paint's not stuck to your finger.
I mean, look, I'm into it. I will. I'm, you know, I'm going to do it for America. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that you should never, ever, ever, ever change the location of an app on your phone.
Why not?
Because I recently rearranged my homepage
and now I cannot find anything.
Oh, you mean like the location on your phone screen?
Yeah, on your phone screen.
I thought you meant like telling it you're in Budapest or something.
No. Like I think I moved my messages from one corner to the next, and I keep opening up Pinterest instead of my messages. And every time I do it, I shake my fist and I put it in the sky and I go, no, not again.
Why did you move it all?
Because I'm trying to organize my life, Bethany. And I was like, okay, organizing my home screen this way will make more sense. Okay. But now I just spend more time like closing out of Pinterest and opening up my messages app instead.
Yeah, it's like when you clean your house and now you can't find anything.
Oh,
like in the song, She Blinded Me with Science. She tidied up and I can't find anything.
Bethany, where can people follow you on social media?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about you, Kathleen?
Kathleen loves color on everything except for Twitter, Cat loves color.
You can also follow our show on social media on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
We have a snail mail address. That's an Acquired Taste Podcast. P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
You can also send us an email, hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
And at the end of every episode, we play your voicemails. Our number is 917-994-0353.
Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
We also have a Patreon, which we do a lot of fun things on. We do live shows and study sessions. And for October, Bethany, we're reading a horror novel.
Horror.
Yes.
Have you landed on a title yet?
No, voting is still open right now in Patreon. And I know a lot of buds are like, I'm nervous. I've never done this before. And it's going to be on October 30th in the morning. So it's going to be right on Hallow's Eve.
Awesome. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey guys, Bethany and Dennis, I wanted to recommend an app to you guys called The Pattern. I don't know if you used it or heard of it, but you will definitely feel attacked in general. It's amazing. It really dives deep into your different patterns of life, how you communicate, your relationships, everything like that. I'm doing an injustice on describing it, but I also want to keep it vague because it's really hard to explain. But the cool thing about it is you can do what's called run a bond, which is where you take two people, perhaps you and Dennis, Bethany and Dennis, and you click run a bond, and it really dissects your guys' dynamics based on your different profiles. I just started it. It's insanely accurate. I know a lot of people are always like, oh my God, this is so true to me. But I'm not kidding. Like, these are insane. And what's cool about it is it really shows like areas where you're different, and that can really be helpful in tools on how to go forward and work on those things you guys differ on. It's good for friendship too, so I would be very interested to know the bond is what it's kind of called between Bethany and Kathleen, just because you two are obviously great friends and get along, but I have a feeling you're going to find a lot of differences when you look at your patterns. So sorry for the long one, but please download The Pattern. It's free. Do your thing. And will you just share the results? Because I'm kind of obsessed with like hearing about other people's results. So super interested. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. I'm listening to episode 437. Oh, yeah, this is Michelle from Maine. Listening to episode 437, and Kathleen made a comment about smelly things and then specifically hockey equipment and how bad pads can smell. And yes. Okay, so when I first met my husband a little over 9 years ago when we started dating, he was goaltender for a local, like, gentleman's hockey league. And the goalie equipment, oh, dear Lord, when he would take that off at the end of the night, the smell was so horrible. And he would go shower and, like, scrub, just vigorously scrub for like an hour, and he would come out, and let me tell you, the hands, it was the freaking gloves and the stench that would come from the gloves and just like permeate his skin of his hands. And it was just so horrid. I remember asking him to use like working hands and like all these different like antibacterial, and there was just nothing that could tame the stench of lingering hockey equipment. So that's my story. Really glad he doesn't play anymore.
Hi, my name is Pegan, P-E-G-G-A-N, and I just wanted to say that today's episode was really funny because you guys kept saying my name over and over and over again, which I usually don't hear my name very often. Thanks, bye.
Hey ladies, it's Taste Bud Kelsey from Texas. I just finished listening to the latest episode of The Check-In. So, Bethany, I just have to tell you, with trying to do like a French manicure or something like that, easiest thing you can do is just grab regular scotch tape and use that to line up on your nail for whatever shape you want. You can also use it around your nails so you don't get polish on the skin. There's a lot of different tricks like that I've learned. I used to be huge into nail art and having to use household tools to do different designs and stuff. If you ever decide you want to get a little creative, just grab a toothpick and your favorite nail polish, and you can do like little polka dots or things like that. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know you don't need to use petroleum jelly, just good old scotch tape works. Love you, ladies. Bye.